Welcome back to the second part of the Townships at 12 for today. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and in this part of the show, I will be talking with Townshipper Anne Rothfels. Anne is a storyteller, an artist, and an author. But first, we will hear a song by Heather Herlock, and the song is called Winter Birds. We will hear the interview with Anne right after the song, so please stay tuned.
Picture you on the couch in the noonday sun, dust in the air and the beams of light, and you tell me you're leaving. We weren't sure what to say, kept looking at each other and looking away, both of us uncomfortable and wanting to stay. Wanted to say something. I'm just gonna feed the birds, let them be my winter flowers, let them talk to me for hours, let it all fall away.
For the Cube, and today I'm very pleased and honored to be interviewing Anne Rothfels here in the Townships. Now, Anne is a former kindergarten teacher. She's managed the Sawyerville Library now for over 42 years. She's an avid storyteller. She's written one book, and she's also creative in art. She does fabric art, and she also enjoys watercolor art. So welcome, Anne.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for that introduction.
Could you share a bit about your journey and how you came to combine the storytelling and your art and being an author of a book?
I've been thinking about this, and I think I would start with my parents, a father who was a biologist and a mother who was a graphic artist. And we spent many hours in a canoe or hiking in northern Ontario. And I think just all that quiet time really fed my imagination, because I had to entertain myself as you know, you would sit in a canoe or go for a hike. And then my story gets linked through Bishop's University, where I did the Graduate School of Education in 1990. And I took a summer course after that year, and Joan Buchanan was teaching a course called The Art of Storytelling. And I took that course, and then Joan said, by the way, I'm leaving. Would you take over the township's tellers for me, please? That storytelling group. So I managed that group for 30 years. So everything sort of linked, I think, to my parents and their creativity.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Were you an only child, too?
No. I have a sister and two brothers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a wonderful way to spend your childhood. Certainly very creative and peaceful in nature, too.
Yes, exactly.
Are you still involved with the township's tellers? Is that still going on?
It's now in the hands of Heather Davis, who was a member of our group for a number of years. And I attend just as a teller. I have to say that as an English-speaking storyteller in Quebec, I don't have a lot of professional opportunities to tell. So being a part of that group means that we call them swaps, just informal evenings of telling stories. It means that I have the opportunity to tell stories I love.
Must be very interesting. Are there any particular themes or genres that resonate most with your storytelling, Ed?
For me, the stories that resonate the most are my personal stories. I have a storytelling set of three stories that have been born in the township. And I love to tell, I have told them in conferences across Canada, storytelling conferences, because I love to bring rural Quebec to city audiences. Most of the conferences take place in the big cities across Canada. And I want them to know what a quiet life in rural Quebec would look like. So one of them is about the birth of my daughter, comparing a rural GP, Dr. Lowry, with a more official city doctor who would have a secretary and all of that. Those are the stories I really love to tell.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. Do you have a special memorable moment or reaction you've experienced while performing as a storyteller?
The one I think back on took place, I was a kindergarten teacher for the Houston Township School Board, and I taught within two schools, and I would do storytelling, seasonal storytelling for the students apart from my teaching duties. And one Christmas, I was telling Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Little Match Girl, which is rather a tragic, sad story. And I looked to those who were listening. It was grade 5-6 class, and there was one girl who, just listening to that story, was so close to tears. I thought, okay, I better back off. I don't want to put her in that place in front of a group of children who might not be understanding. And so I just tweaked the story a little bit so it was not quite so sad, just to protect her.
That's interesting. You must be a very good storyteller if you could evoke that much emotion.
I have occasionally, yes.
Okay, you've written a book. How did that come about, and what is the book?
The book is called Many Lifetimes. I consider it an adult book, but technically it is supposed to be a children's book. And I think it was about 20 years ago I was in a meditation group, a fairly large group, and the animator, who was sort of receiving psychic messages, said, well, you're meant to be writing. And I just shrugged it off because I thought, of course, I'm a storyteller. I'm writing all the time for my own material. But we were a smaller group in later years, and she kept asking me, what about the writing that you're meant to do? And I finally just sat quietly and thought to myself, well, writing? What am I to do? And it definitely was very clear to me it would not be an adult book, that it was to be a children's book. And then I thought, okay, a children's book. And I have two grandchildren, young ones. And I thought, if I'm going to go to all this effort, I love writing, but here I have apparently an assignment to write a children's book. I want it to be one they would never be able to find in the bookstore. I wanted to write something totally original, because I have to say, being a town librarian, I have seen children's books being published very hastily with computer graphics that are rather, I would say, careless. And I've often thought, I'm sorry they went to that much effort, to publish that book. So with my own book, I wanted quality. And I was fortunate to make contact with Angela Luke, who at the time was living in Hatley, I believe. And she agreed to help me with getting the book published. It's self-published, but also with her editorial help and Heather Davis's editorial help. And so the story, I'm very honest, on the back I have written, this story is a unique introduction to the idea of reincarnation for children, written by a grandmother of two. But I also asked a storytelling friend who read the book if I could put her quote on the back of the book. And she writes, "It seems a bit of a miracle that just a handful of well-chosen words can stir such emotion and build such a powerful metaphor for human life on Earth." And that's how I think it is a story for adults. I'm thinking of parents reading to young children and having the story feed them at the same time that it might interest their children.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fascinating. And it's called Many Lifetimes. Is that the title?
Yes.
Okay. And where can someone pick up a copy of the book here in the townships?
There are copies in the Black Cat Bookstore. Mm-hmm. In Lenoxville.
Okay, good to know. Any plans to write another book?
Nope.
Okay.
I will continue to write for storytelling. I love doing that. But a book? No, I don't believe so. It could change, but at the moment, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, storytelling, you write a story and then you get with your group and you add emotion to it. Is that pretty much storytelling?
Storytelling, how do I say this? Yes, you start with a written text, but it's never memorization, ever. You never tell the same story twice, same way. And your audience is part of the creation of the story. So as you're telling a story, you're also sensing the emotions of your audience, and you are adapting accordingly. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question as well as I should. It's very important to understand that storytelling is not memorization. It's not totally dependent upon the written text. The written text is a guide, and there are certain things you want to honor, the beginning and ending of story and the plot of the story. But apart from that, any details you might add could change from one telling to another.
Okay, that's very interesting. If someone wants to get involved with storytelling, is there a contact person or a group?
That would be Heather Davis.
Next up, let's talk about your art. Now, you do fabric art, and you said you're also, you like to do watercolor art. What exactly is fabric art?
For me, it's been a variety of things. I started out learning how to sew in junior high, and that meant I could create my own clothing and have my own unique style that I have never, ever given up on. At the time that I was in high school, we went from mini skirts to maxi, and I adopted the maxi style, and I've used it ever since. All my dresses are of a longer length, and I'm totally independent of fashion. So I like that liberation. And from sewing, I went to weaving, because after high school, I went to Sheridan School Design, which is a 3-year crafts program. First year, you're doing 4 different studios, one of them being the fabric studio. And that's where I learned how to weave. And I majored in that for the following 2 years. And the reason why I'm even in Quebec is that I met my partner there, Ken Matacoro, who was studying pottery. And he was invited to share the pottery studio in North Hatley. And I came with him. And I've been here for, gosh, over 50 years now.
Okay, good. Well, the townships has certainly benefited from you being in it, because you have so much experience and so much enthusiasm. It's wonderful.
This is the perfect place to live. The other thing I did, because I love the township so much, is that in June, this past June, I organized a national storytelling conference. I'm a member of Storytellers of Canada, Conteurs du Canada, and we have each year a national conference. And I, along with some others, hosted the conference at Bishop's, and those who came absolutely fell in love with the township.
That's incredible. Okay, that was the conference last year, you said?
last June, yeah.
Okay, last June. Is there another one planned for this year?
It changes every year, so it will be in Halifax in 2025.
Okay, I understand. Good. Well, it's great that we had it in the townships last year then, and a lot of people definitely showed up, I guess, and were interested.
Yeah, in terms of formal participants, we had about 70. We had a storytelling evening that was open to the public, and we were in Van Deen Hall most of the time. That pretty well filled up the hall. And one of my purposes in helping to host that conference was to integrate the Francophone tellers into our national organization, because they have their provincial RCQ, but I wanted them to be aware of the tellers across Canada. And I was very, very pleased that for our evening concert, we had three Francophone tellers and three Anglophone tellers, and a host to do a slight resume of each one of those stories. So it was a bilingual evening, and it could be understood by everyone that way.
Okay, that's really nice. A great opportunity. Your fabric art, I read a little bit about it. You take things from nature, is that how it goes? Or
things from nature, that would be more the watercolors. Fabric art, I am more interested at this time with my weaving in creating fabric for clothing that I would transform the cloth into clothing. Mm-hmm. I also weave what I call small rugs, and my friends insist they should never go on the floor. They should be throws on a sofa, something like that, mm-hmm. or something wrapped around you. I did fabric sculptures, which I called goddess figures, that were totally created from found materials. Most of them fabrics that I just had here. The watercolors, though, that's definitely nature-based. The watercolors that I did for many lifetimes, the story is flower-based. I have a story representing each part of the story, and those watercolors were done from my own flower garden. I would go out and do the watercolor, and I had Dennis Palmer assess them, critique them, mm-hmm. and if he rejected one or two, then I would redo them. So every watercolor in the book has his approval.
Oh, well, you're a perfectionist.
I really wanted to honor this book, and I wanted to honor Angela, who gave me the opportunity to get it published.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any specific challenges or joys in balancing your different interests or hobbies?
There are no challenges in that we live in this wonderful world of four seasons. So the winter months for me are the quiet, hibernating months. My house is fairly cold. The laundry room is quite cold. So any sewing is done during the day. Knitting can be done day and evening. Weaving day and evening. And in the summertime, it's more that I go outside and I do watercolors and garden and do outside activities. I just love it that we have the four seasons and that we are given these beautiful winter months to create inside our homes.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a great time to create in the winter. Do you see your work as a way to preserve and share cultural traditions?
Not so much. They're so uniquely my own, and I'm not really linked to any culture. Perhaps being an Anglophone and the kind of stories that I write for storytelling, that's cultural. That's based on my Anglophone experience here in the townships. But for the fabric items, no, nothing cultural there.
Mm-hmm. King, are you working on something, a specific project right now?
And I'm finishing knitting a top, and I'm about to set up my loom again to weave some fabric. And I just finished making a new dressing gown that's done with strip quilting, which is mostly quilting with a sewing machine. And I did a little bit of pieced quilting, which means you would use geometric shapes. So the border is fitted triangles to create a very colorful border, different fabrics, and then the rest is strip quilting. So that is a project I just finished.
Okay, that sounds very interesting and a lot of work too. Okay.
A lot of work.
Anything else you'd like to add before we go, Anne, about your storytelling or your art or anything in particular?
Well, I would invite people to visit the website of Storytellers of Canada, Conteurs du Canada. It's easily found doing a Google search. If you just do Storytellers of Canada, you will find it. And within that, you will find profiles for amazing storytellers and all kinds of storytelling activities that are taking place across Canada. And it is a resource that very few people know about.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. I'll definitely check that out and encourage our audience too. Okay, well, we thank you very much, Anne Rothfels. You're an avid storyteller and a member of the Storytelling of Canada. You're an author of a book. You've been a librarian at the Sawyerville Library for 42 years. Are you still doing that too?
Oh, yes. Just as a volunteer.
And definitely an artist too. Thanks very much, Anne, and all the best on all your projects in the new year.
Thank you very much, Maureen.
Show me love. Show me life. Show me love and what it's all about. Always been told that I've got too much pride. Too independent to have you by my side. But my heart said, all of you will see, just won't live for someone until he lives for me. Never thought I would find love so sweet. Never thought I would meet someone like you. Well, now I found you, and I'll tell you no lie. This love
was Jan Arden, and the song is called Show Me Love. Next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Petroleum jelly, such as Vaseline, is often recommended for managing eczema as it forms a thick barrier over skin. This helps lock in moisture and prevent dryness. Petroleum jelly also helps shield skin from irritants, allergens, and environmental factors that could exacerbate eczema. Try applying a thin layer of it on clean skin as part of your daily skincare routine. I'd like to thank my guest in the second part of today's show, Anne Rothfels, storyteller, artist, and author. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please send me an email at cjmqnews@gmail.com if you have an idea for an interview or if you simply want to leave a comment. We will close today's show with If You Could Read My Mind, and it's done by Lisa Richard.
Could read my mind, love. What a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. No, that ghost is me. And I will never be set free. As long as I'm a ghost, you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. But heroes often fail. And you won't read that book again, because the ending's just too hard to take. I'll walk away like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way script. Number two, movie queen to play the scene, bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. Never thought I could act this way, and I got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know. What a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a